thinking about God and His faithfulness and goodness to us. He has given us, the Bible says, all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And I was thinking of the scripture, I believe it's in Ephesians, maybe no, it's in Romans. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for that kingdom this morning. God knows just what you and I need. I don't know how you folks view life in this respect, but I am continuously considering in my own mind, in my own life, the end of it all. Because I know that we are all going to come down to an end someday. And my desire and intention is to be as prepared as I know how to be. Because I feel that that is a very, while life is precious, life is important, I feel like that the end of it all is really the time where the, was the old saying, the rubber meets the road. It's what we've done in this life. And it's going to, that is going to sustain us when we draw our last breath. So I'm thankful today that God is interested in every one of us. And I kind of entitled this little message, must-haves, must-haves. You know, there's a lot of things, even in the old physical body, there's things that we like, things that we enjoy. There's things that we don't have to have in order to survive. But then, again, there are things that we must have. We must have food and water in order to continue to live. Well, the Lord knows the must-haves. He knows what you and I need in order to survive spiritually, in order to be prepared for whatever may be before us. So pray for us. The Lord will bless the portion of the word that we have on our hearts today. I'd like for us to look at a scripture in Exodus. Exodus, the 30th chapter. I've used this before. In the 22nd verse, Exodus 30 and 22, moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith in the ark of the testimony, the table and all of his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil. unto me throughout your generations. I believe God has always been very specific in what he requires of mankind. He's always been very specific in what he requires of you and I in order to walk humbly and holy before him. This oil that he told Moses to make, he was very specific just exactly how much a proportion of each thing that was to be put in it. And then he said that it was to be a holy anointing oil unto the people. The ingredients that was used in that had to be ground up together. It all had to be ground up together in order to be mixed with the olive oil. It was all mixed up together. It was only a holy anointing oil because God said so. God consecrated that to be a holy anointing oil unto the people. And it was the oil that Aaron and the priests were to use. And it is a type of the anointing or the holy anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you and I today. See, God, this, the Old Testament here, gives us a type and a shadow of what you and I can actually really experience in the realm of the Jesus Christ is coming to this earth and what you and I can enjoy today. But this oil was very important and because God said so. And God told him exactly what he wanted to do, and it was to be mixed and ground up together to be mixed with the olive oil. The spices, if you can imagine these spices, we don't really know these spices all that well. We don't use them in our cooking or anything like that. But they gave the oil flavor. There's the ingredients to this anointing oil. There were sweet and there were bitter that came together. Some of this was bitter. Some of this was sweet. And it came together to compound God's holy anointing or ointment that he had prepared for his people. He brought them together and he designed this in such a way that when you use this, you pour it on the sanctuary, you pour it on the vessels and those kind of things, I will be there. It's a sign, it's a type of me being there. It's a type of my presence and my blessings upon you. The word olive derives its meaning from the following words. These may sound a little familiar to us. Prominence. Shine. Illumination. And joy. You see, when God gave us this plan of salvation, it wasn't just thrown together. Everything that you and I, the blessings that you and I enjoy today, everything that we enjoy that as the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, wasn't just thrown together, but God had a purpose for each and every thing that is involved in this. And it was for the benefit of your and my spiritual soul to illuminate us, to help you and I to shine to you, that you and I can have the joy of salvation today that we are experiencing in Jesus Christ. The anointing that you and I receive from God, and we need that anointing today, don't we? The anointing that you and I receive from God today causes all the blessings that you and I have or receive from the Lord to flow in our lives. It causes those blessings. when we have the anointing. It's up to you and I to live in such a way that we have God's anointing. His anointing is His approval, isn't it? When He told them to make this oil, it's a special oil, and God brought all these ingredients together, and He said it was a holy anointing oil, and it was because God said it was. And from that time forward, it was to be treated in such a way of respect and humility and a respect to God, and it was to be treated in such a way to know that whenever the oil was poured out, that you were representing, it was representing the presence and the Spirit of God being among the people. So it is for you and I today. You know, this anointing oil that you and I have today, when we have God's approval upon us, we don't have to look to man for man's favor, do we? But we can look to God for God's favor. And that's really where the blessings come from, when we have the approval of God. I think about the apostle when they were being threatened over there, and he said, it's better to obey God than man. Yes, it's true that we need to try to get along with mankind, with one another. But folks, God is the main focus. He's the main focus in our lives. And you and I, as that anointing comes down upon us, we've got to be willing to go through the process of transformation. This oil is that represents the Holy Spirit to you and I. And that's one of the must-haves that we must have in order to walk in this life and living successfully for the Lord. We must have the Holy Spirit. We must have His approval. And in order to do that, there's a process that we must be willing to go through, whether it be affliction, whether it be sickness, whether it be heartache, whether it be sorrow, whatever it may be that we have to go through. God has a purpose for everything that He permits us to go through. Be transformed, the scripture says, by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. We've got to be changed from this old world. And it's a critical process, and sometimes the Lord turns up the heat for the process to develop with you and I. We've got to be willing to come to a place of brokenness before God. We've got to be willing to come to a place of death. Paul said, I die daily. So this is something that we all must have. We all must be working towards and laboring for, that we all have and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It was important to the children of Israel back then, and it's important to you and I today. I want to go to another must have here. Let's turn now, and I'm not going to leave that thought of the oil yet, totally, but I want to look at another scripture found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It's another must-have. Today, the oil that we receive is prepared according to the work and the grace of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. God knows just how to do that. He knows just what to bring me through. He knows just how much heat to put on it. He knows what it's going to take for you and I to get the help that we really need to our souls, to reveal Himself to us. You know, the scripture says all things work together for good to those that love God. He knows how to make all things work together, doesn't He? He knows how to take everything that comes our way, that He permits to come our way. The devil would send things our way to destroy us, but God doesn't allow that to happen. He works all things together for our good. And in a spiritual sense, then, I can say it this way, he uses his wisdom, God does, to bring together those five elements. Those five elements, five ingredients that was in the holy anointing oil. And he knows how to prepare that particular anointing for you and I in order to supply our needs. God knows how to do that. All right, let's look at another scripture now, a must-have. Lord, by the help of the Lord, we'll bring all this together at the close. But I want to look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And this is a must-have, folks. It's a must-have. In order for me to be prepared and to be ready for whatever the Lord has to come our way, this is a must-have. He says in Ephesians 6, and I know this is familiar scripture, should be, 6 and 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I'm interested in being successful, and I'm sure you are too. In order to be successful and to be faithful to what the Lord has for you and I, he takes us all on different paths. He takes us all in different directions, but yet we have the same, he has the same purpose for every one of us. I want to look at a scripture, just to get a verse here, if I can find it. It says in, Revelations 2 and 7, "He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And this is what I want us to get a hold of. "To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So I'm interested, and I know we're all interested this morning, to be overcomers, to be achievers for the Lord, to be successful in our walk with the Lord. It isn't automatic. It isn't automatic because we have an enemy that comes against us every day. And he works in all different kinds of ways when he comes against us. So it's not automatic, but it says to him that overcometh. And I'm interested in us being able to overcome. We can't do that on our own. For one of the things we need is the oil that we just spoke of. But he says, put on now, verse 11 in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It seems like, you know, in this great salvation that God has given us, it's free. It's given, the salvation is given to you and I through his son, through the sacrifice of his son, through the blood that was shed on the cross. It's freely given to you and I, but there is always something that you and I must do. If we love the Lord, we're going to have to put forth the effort, proving our love. As the Lord allows us to be, our love to be tested and allows us to be tried, Lord, help us to prove our love and be willing to do what God requires you and I to do. There's a requirement for you and I too. And that says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That verse alone tells me that I cannot stand against the wiles of the devil by myself. I can't do it under my own strength. I can't do it under my own might. I don't have the understanding. I don't have everything that I'm going to need to be able to resist, to be able to overcome, to be able to rebuke him. I cannot rebuke the devil without drawing nigh to God first. I've got to have God to be able to defeat the enemy of my life and of my soul. So put on the whole armor of God here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What are you wrestling with today? Does the enemy come and get in your head and start bringing all kinds of thoughts? bringing all kinds of surmisings, all kinds of suspicions. The enemy works in every one of us that way. And he said here, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. But we're all in this together to be successful when the end comes, that we can go on to our eternal reward with joy and peace and happiness in our souls, that we can overcome, as Jesus said. But we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And oh, folks, darkness, the darkness is getting darker and darker, it seems, more all the time. There is just seems like evil is just being fulfilled. The evil and wickedness is just being fulfilled in people's hearts, in people's lives. And we're fighting against these things. You and I have to resist. Be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's just so many directions that you and I have to be aware of. So many ways that the enemy is going to come against you. He's going to test you. He's subtle, and he's going to try to pull you away. He's going to try to present something that would look good to you, in order to deceive your soul. We're fighting against those kind of things. And those kind of things are hard to fight when you can't see them with your natural eye, aren't they? So what do we need to fight those things, folks? We need that holy anointing oil, don't we? We need that holy anointing oil to be able to fight those things that we can't see with our natural eye. We need the Spirit of God to come and reveal himself to us, to show us the way, to lead us and to guide us. So he went on here now, and he tells us what we need to do. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe I'm living in the evil day. It is an evil time. There's all kinds of things that presents themselves to me, to my affections, to my mind, when I look on others and see how people are living, the things they're getting involved with, and how that they are so involved. People are so involved in evil today, they're not even able to rationally see and understand the real thing that is coming against their souls. And it's not just the people out in the world either, folks. We've got to keep a keen vision. A keen vision of the church. A keen vision of what God is requiring you and I as we fight against these things. And as we see the world getting more corrupt and more evil all the time, we've got to have a keen vision of the church. We've got to have a keen vision and understanding of what is required of me, that when that time comes, I will be prepared, and that I will be ready. This is a must-have, folks. Putting on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Well, what do I do now, Lord? Stand. Lord, I've done it. I've prayed, and I've cried, and I've fasted. I've done all these things, and Lord, it seems like the burden, the problem is still there. What do I do now? Stand. Stand. Trust. People today are losing their trust in the Lord. Lord, help us to trust Him, to submit to His will, to His purpose. When I can't see the way before me, when I don't know the unknowns that are out there, what can I do? Stand. Stand where you've always stood. Hold the true position, folks. Don't let the enemy move you and try to lead you another way. Stand faithful in the truth of God's word. Trust God, folks, and He will never forsake you. He will never leave or forsake you. Having done everything that you know to do, and folks, we are limited, aren't we? We are very limited. And as I get older and I'm understanding the frailty of the human body, I realize how limited we can really be. And folks, it's just that way with your souls. You're limited. We must have the Spirit of God. We must have His holy anointing upon our life. And we must be able to, in this evil day, after we've done all we know to do, what else can I do? You know, people are rethinking divine healing today. People are rethinking trusting God today. I'm going to give you a couple weeks. And if the pain isn't gone in a couple weeks, then I'm going to go do something about it. Folks, that's not standing. That's not being faithful to stand. This is something that I must have. When the battle gets hot, the heat is turned up, when I don't know, when I don't understand what's going to happen next, maybe I can't even feel the presence of God. But folks, I know God's promise is that He's never going to leave me or forsake me. So what can I do about that? Give in to it? Give in to the temptation? Stop trusting God? Folks, if I don't have God to trust, I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. If I can't trust God, I'm hopeless. I've got to have that. I've got to have my trust in God. Don't let the devil take that trust away. Don't let him discourage you. Don't let him destroy your faith. Be faithful. Be thou faithful. He said to him that overcometh, He's going to give us the crown of life. I want to be faithful. So Paul here exhorts you and I. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Truth. Folks, the girdle of truth. It won't forsake you. It won't let you down. You stand by the truth. The truth will stand by you. God's word cannot fail. It can't fail. God's word cannot change. Not one iota is it going to change. Not one jot or one tittle of His word is going to change. What was good for me yesterday, what supported me yesterday, what strengthened me, what I believed in yesterday, folks, is still the same for me today. No matter what the circumstances look like. You can say, well, Brother Larry, that's easy for you to say. Yeah, it's easy to say. It's easier to say than it is to do sometimes, isn't it? But I've got to be determined. I've got to put some things on. I've got to have these things. That when it does come, there's just no question in my mind. There's no other option, but I'm going to trust God. What are you going to do? I'm going to trust God. I got a daughter, or some of you know, she's a physical therapist, or she does physical therapy work on patients. And I've been having issues with my back, and this pain's been going on now for a month or so. And she's trying to get me to come over just to work on my legs. And I don't know that there's anything wrong with all that. But you know what? I was thinking about it the other day and I was praying about it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with her maybe exercising my leg and trying to get a pain out of my back. But I want to tell you, folks, I don't want to do anything to hinder the working of God in my heart and my life. It goes beyond the pain in my back. It goes beyond all that. It goes to the place of you and me being the example of the believer. It goes to the place of me being an example of trusting God and submitting to His will, as the song we sang, His way is best. Lord, help me not to ponder those things, but help me to learn to humble myself and submit to Your will and submit to Your ways and whatever Your purpose is in me. I don't believe that the Lord allows me to have a headache just so I can have an aspirin. I don't think that's why the Lord allows me to have a headache. These things come our way, folks. Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord. Lord, help us to have a little bit of our own gumption in our life, that we'll be able to fight through some things as we trust God and put ourselves into His will. Let His purpose work in our life. You want to have real blessings? You want to have real spiritual blessings? This is where they come from. It's where they come from. Trusting God, folks. will bring great spiritual rewards to your soul in trusting God. Having done all, stand, just stand. Put on the girdle of truth. And then he said, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul's dressing us up here, isn't he? He's dressing up this body. He's preparing us for the onslaught that may be before us. He's preparing us for the enemy coming in against us. He's preparing us for these things. But Lord, help me to put some clothes on here that I'll be able to stand, having done all. To stand. The breastplate of righteousness. Lord, help me. This is my prayer now. Lord, help me not to do anything that would grieve you, that would cause you to be sorrowful because of my actions, because of my weaknesses, because of my failures. You know, I believe that if we have some of this must-haves, and if we have put these things on, the failures will be less and less. I believe we can be, the scripture says we're more than overcomers, conquerors through him that loved us. We can be more than conquerors, folks. There don't have to be failures in our life. We can live consistently for the Lord. I'm not saying everything's going to look rosy and everything's going to be rosy. I know what pain does. Pain is like a mind-altering drug. It gets you looking at things a whole lot different than you did before the pain came, and I understand that. Pain is hard. Pain is difficult. I understand that. But I'm responsible to someone higher than I. He said, I want you to make this. I want you to take this different ingredients, and I want you to make this oil, and it shall be a holy anointing oil. God's given us something special, folks. The world can't see this. The world doesn't understand that. Our families, those of us that have family that's not saved, they don't understand that. They think you're foolish. They think you're ridiculous. They don't understand why you live the way you do. It's all right. God understands. My consecration, my commitment, put on the whole armor. Put it on. You think just reading this is going to put it on? No, we need to take this very scripture right here and get out on our knees and pray, Lord, I want to put this on. I want to wear this. Remember when David went out to fight the giant, Goliath, Saul, he didn't have any armor, he didn't have a shield, he didn't even have a sword. And Saul says, here, you can wear mine. He put it on and he took it right back off and said, I haven't proved them. Saints, there's some things God's looking for you and I to prove. When I come back, will I find faith? Isn't that what he asked? There's some things that God is looking. We make the claim that we're a child of God. We make a claim of the church of God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Folks, there's some things God's looking for you and I to prove. He's looking for some examples. He's looking for some faithfulness. He's looking for some consistency. He's looking for those that have a willingness, and not only a willingness, but the power, the grace of God in their life to be able to stand true and be able to stand faithful in these days. Withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, have your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The very shoes that I wear is the preparation of the gospel of peace. Folks, I'm thinking, the thought just came to mind about those people over there in South Korea that are doing the Winter Olympics. My understanding is when they train for that, they live, eat, think. Everything they do is about what they're going to do when they get over there and to excel in being successful in whatever event that they're in. Folks, that's the way it ought to be with you and I. We ought to live, eat, breathe. It ought to be on our minds and thoughts continually. My soul is worth it. My soul is worth it, folks. Eternity is forever. Heard someone talking about the other day, said, well, there's like 3 seconds left. And he says, 3 seconds is an eternity. I told my wife, I said, they don't have a very good understanding of eternity. They don't have a very good understanding. See, that's the way people view things today. They just kind of flip it off. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, Paul said, above all now, taking the shield of faith, Lord help us. Lord help me to have the shield of faith. There was a time, David, when he went out to meet Goliath, hadn't proved himself yet. He'd fought a lion, he'd fought a bear. And what he had used to do that, he knew about those little slingshot and the stone, didn't he? And that's what God blessed him with. Folks, this is faith to faith, taking the shield of faith. We live from faith to faith. As he brings us through our battles and through our trials, he will bring us through the little things if we'll trust him. And we can come to a point when we grow in that grace that he can trust us with the bigger things. Because what are we going to do when we get there? We're going to stand. I'm going to stand and I'm going to wait. I'm going to stand still, as he told him over there, and see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, help us to be able to do that. It takes more than what I got for you. I don't have this for you. You don't have it for me, but God does. God does. Through the power of his Holy Spirit working in each and every one of our hearts and lives. He's got this for you and I. Take the shield of faith. Above all, he said. Above all these other things, take the shield of faith whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Are they going to come? Are the darts going to come? Is the enemy going to attack you? You better believe he is. We're going to be tried. We're going to be brought through the fire, the Bible says. We're going to be attacked by the enemy of our souls. But, folks, my soul's worth it. Here's the ingredient. I've got to have this. I must have this in order to be able to stand in these evil days that we live in. The shield of faith. And then he went on to say, take the helmet. Protect your mind. Protect your mind. That's where he told us earlier. We're fighting against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world. Spiritual wickedness and hope. We're fighting things in our minds. And in our thoughts. Take the helmet. Put on the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What are you going to fight with, folks? How are you going to fight the enemy? You can't do it on your own. Hey, none of us can do it on our own. But he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, I'm thankful. The Scripture tells us some places, study to show thyself approved. He wants us to understand, get a hold of the Word of God, folks. It's our support, it's our foundation, it's a lamp unto my feet and a life unto my lamp unto my pathway. The Word of God. Praying always. Praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's a capital S in my Bible. In the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Not mumbling a few words. Not reading a prayer off of somebody else's prayer book. But praying in the Spirit. Being in earnest before the Lord. Getting down before the Lord where that scripture can become so real to you and I, where it says He maketh intercession for us in groanings that cannot be even be uttered. Folks, we can take our prayers, we can take our petitions, we can take our tears before the Lord, praying always. Yeah, we need to be praying all the time because we need the Lord's help, folks. We have loved ones that are lost, it's hurting us to see them lost, to see them coming down to the end of their way. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, folks. All of this to keep us prepared for what is coming. I don't know exactly everything that's coming. I know the end's coming. I heard that in a prayer this morning. I know the end is coming. And it doesn't matter to me how many years I've been saved. It doesn't matter how old I am. I still have an enemy to fight. And after everything that I do, what am I supposed to do? Stand. Lord, help me to be able to stand. Must have it. Must have, folks. Here's another one. Lord laid on my heart, a must have. It's in Titus, second chapter, very familiar to us. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Must have His grace, folks. Must have His grace every day. Every one of us, when it comes to fighting the enemy of our souls, we are weak. But He says in our weakness, His strength is made strong, isn't it? The grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace is a must have. And in order to have His grace, which is His divine approval upon our life, we must live in such a way that we don't grieve Him. We don't resist Him. But we must live in such a way that we can have His approval upon our hearts, upon our lives. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Folks, people can say what they want to say. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to quit doing this. You don't have to quit doing that. The Word of God right here says it, that the grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's a must have, folks. I must have the grace of God. Will not make it without it. All right, I must have the Spirit of God. It's a must have. And I must have the whole armor of God. And I must have it applied to my own self. I must have it. Why must I have it? Why must I have these things? And this is what all this brought all this to my mind as I was thinking of a main scripture, and I want to turn to that scripture now. That's found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Oh, you've heard it, read it many times. But folks, this is a reality to me. Jesus speaking here of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Pretty foolish, wasn't it? Folks, we can't go out to meet God without the must-haves. We've got to have the oil, folks. We've got to have the grace. They took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and the bridegroom tarried while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. These are dangerous times. I see these as dangerous. In my downtime at home, I have a lot of downtime at home. A lot of time when I don't have to be doing anything. I read and I study and I pray, but you know, there's still a lot of time in a day, isn't there? There's a time for me to get in trouble doing simple little things maybe I shouldn't even be doing. But I want to always, praying always in the Spirit. Always drawing closer to the Lord. Want to be ready. They all slumbered and slept. Every one of them. Time has a way of being our enemy sometimes. Lord, help me to keep my mind and my heart stayed upon Thee. Stayed upon Your Word. Help me to get into the Word, to meditate on the Word. Help me to pray for the lost. Help me to pray for the church. Help me to pray for the congregation. Help me to pray for the world that's in trouble today. Souls going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Oh, there's so much that we can do for the Lord. And at midnight, I don't know when that's going to be. I know one thing, I've seen a lot of people die. You have too, probably. At one time, their midnight came. And it said there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Folks, you have a responsibility to your soul. Wherever you and I live in eternity, we'll be heavily totally dependent on how that I live my life here. It'll be dependent on my readiness. And when the cry came, they didn't have any more grace. When the cry came, they didn't have any more oil. They was to the point, folks, the way I read this, they weren't ready. So they were spiritually bankrupt. They didn't have on the armor that would help them to be prepared for such a time as this. But I know one thing, that when the wise finished telling them, not going to give you any of mine because there may not be enough for me and you too. Whatever you have on hand, folks, you'll not get your own family in. You'll not get your own children in. But you and I, if we'll be faithful and if we'll be diligent in applying our hearts and our minds and our souls to our own condition or situation as we come before the Lord, only myself can I get in. Only myself. Only myself. Lord, help us today. It's to me, that's a eerie, chilling thought. When I think of souls that I love dearly, I can't help them. I can't help them. But I've got to do everything that I know to do. That when the cry comes, when midnight hour gets here, that I'll be ready. I don't remember who it was that said it, but there's a story about someone that was living right before the Lord, and they said, if this is death, it is sweet. Folks, I believe that God has something much better than this over there. To him that overcometh, folks, he's going to give us the tree of life to eat in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. So while we have time, folks, while we have opportunity, let us be up and doing. Let us be up and doing. Let us be faithful. Let us never lose the understanding of the value of your soul and what it's going to mean to leave out of this world. He said here, the wise answered, saying, not so, But go ye rather than the sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It's a foolish person to get it in their minds and say, nobody knows when the Lord's coming. Nobody knows when the Lord's going to call this world to judgment. And how so true is that? Nobody knows. But folks, nobody knows when he's going to come for you and when he's going to come for me. That'll be the end of it for us, won't it? If the world stands another 1,000 years, that'll be the end of it for us. When he comes for me. When the cry comes, folks, at midnight, there was a cry. And these poor people woke up and didn't have the graces of God to be able to go out and meet him. While they were going to buy it, folks, today is the day of opportunity. Today's when we buy. Today is when we put on the whole armor of God. Today is when we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Today is the day of grace. And it's a day of opportunity for every one of us to be faithful and true. You know, I don't know. Altogether down through the years, preached a lot of messages to the sinner, preached a lot of messages to the church. I've just preached a lot of messages the Lord has given us. But I feel such an urgency today. Maybe it's for my own soul. But folks, we're living in dangerous times. And I want to encourage the saints. I'd never get up here to try to unsave anybody. It ain't about unsaving anybody. It's about the saints being encouraged and being ready when the Lord calls for us. Because he's surely going to call for us. May the Lord help us to be diligent. Scripture says to be diligent that you make your calling and election sure. I want to be doing that. I want to be found faithful. These are must-haves that I must put on in my life. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Thank you.